chastise not thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
We'll be talking about that light this morning. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 3. We certainly do need to be lifting them up in prayer through the week here as they approach it, and certainly there on Friday. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture or verses of Scripture in the entire Bible. The majority of believers today probably know that verse by heart, and many people outside of Christianity, outside of genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that are religious in themselves know of the verse, and even some lost people know of the John 3:16, of what it, at least when it's quoted there, they recognize it. It is not only familiar, but it's probably one of the best loved because it gives a great general description of what Jesus Christ came into the world to do and what God is all about. It says, "Therefore God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in that general statement of the gospel, you may say and call it, it gives us, by reference here, implication that that man has a problem with sin because we are sinful people. In the Bible, God says there that the wages of sin is death. There is a payment that has to be made for our sin. And every one of us individually are responsible for that payment. And that payment is to perish, it says there. And that perish that it's talking about is to die and go to a place called hell and eventually the lake of fire, which is a separation. And that's what death is. The wages of sin is death. Physical death is a separation of the soul from the body. Spiritual death is a separation of the soul from God in the place called the lake of fire for all eternity future. It is a place of consciousness, it's a place of suffering, and it's a place that nobody in their right mind would want to go. But God loved the world so much, the people of it, that He was willing to give His only begotten Son, God the Son, to come down and take on human form as a man, Jesus Christ, and to live perfectly in this world without sin, and to die as our substitute there on Calvary, to be the payment that we needed for our sin. When Jesus Christ died there, He became my substitute, and He paid the complete price of my sin debt. God the Father put His stamp of approval upon what He did when He raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, guaranteeing that not only that Jesus Christ has everlasting life Himself, but He has the ability to promise it to whoever puts faith or believes in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. And so, as we see what God has done in His love in providing there for us this payment of sin, we come to man's responsibility that tells us that we are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we examine other parts of Scripture, we get a full understanding of what that means. We've got to first believe that we have a sin debt that we need to have that paid for, or else we will die and go to hell and pay for it ourselves. We've got to believe that Jesus Christ came and died there for us to be that payment. And then by faith, we've got to choose to receive what He did to be our payment. And so that is so important, all packed together in that verse. We have a responsibility then to by faith say, "Lord, I want what You did on Calvary to be my payment of sin." And by making that choice, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And we have not only our sins forgiven, but we then are imparted to with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He gives it to us. And based upon that, we are worthy to go into God's heaven. See, our entrance into heaven is nothing to do with our good works or righteousness, because all of them fall short of God's glorious standard. But when Jesus Christ came, He completed it fully. And when we place our faith and trust in Him, then God says we are now worthy to come in His heaven. Not worthy on ourselves, but worthy on what He did. He finished it all. What a great verse that we have there. That's not the message. That's just a free on-site here. This everlasting life that he promises us is also seen in John chapter 1, if you'll flip over a couple pages there. In verse 1 there it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And that Word is capitalized there. It's speaking of God the Son. And we see it identified even further down in verse 14 where it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's Bethlehem. There's the Lord Jesus Christ was born. God the Son took upon Himself human form there in this in the Lord Jesus Christ there was born. "And He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Not only that, but we see if you'll back up to verse 3 and 4 there, and 5, it says, "All things were made by Him." This is God the Son, the Word that became flesh. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life." Now this is that eternal life that He's talking about in John 3:16. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." I want to stop right here, and I want you to see that there is a connection that God makes here in Scripture between everlasting life that Jesus Christ came to give and this light that Jesus Christ was. And we see in that correlation there, or that comparison or connection here, as he talks about Jesus came as the light of the world. He came actually as the life of this world to offer eternal life. David said it well there in Sunday school in John 14:6, where Jesus made the statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the," what's the third one? "The life." Jesus Christ is. "By the way, there's no way to get to heaven." So how did it go there? "There's no going without the at the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there's no living." At least eternal life, living with God in heaven from here on. So Jesus Christ is the one that is the life. He is the one that is also described as the light. And it is this darkness and light that is seen so much in Scripture, metaphorically speaking there, of both intellect, lack of illumination, if a person does not know the truth, as opposed to the illumination of the truth if we do, and also morally symbolizing sin, darkness does. We were one time darkness, we were one time before we were saved in sin, but now are we light, the Scripture says there. It is the lack of sin, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ had to be in order to die in our place. And that's what He wants to make us, each one of us. It's this light that I wish for us to learn more about this morning. I've entitled the message, "The Light of the World." And I want us to examine three ways that light has come into this world. And it's taken out of John 3 here, and looking at verses 17 through 19, where it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Father, I pray that as we look into Your Word this morning, as we look into this subject of the light that has come into the world, I pray that You would help us to understand its significance, both to us in salvation as well as to us believers, as we too are the light of this world that You have left us here, that we're to shine, that others may see our good works and glorify You, our Father, there in heaven. Thank You, Lord, for what You will do by Your Holy Spirit. Help us to concentrate. Hold back Satan from any distractions this morning, but may we pay attention and learn the truth of what You have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want us to look here at these three areas, three ways in which light comes into the world. The first one I mentioned is the Lord Jesus Christ, the light that shines in the Savior. In John 9:5, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And Jesus ceased being in the world there at the ascension after the resurrection when he went out. And then as the church age began there in Acts chapter 2, we have the believers with the indwelt Holy Spirit within us, having the Lord Jesus Christ living through us as the light of the world now. But right then, in the life of Jesus, in those few years there, he was the light of the world there as long as he was in the world as that light. There are four things that I want us to see about this light. And the first one is that light is purity. Jesus was, as we've already mentioned there, pure without sin. Hebrews 4:15 says about Jesus that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The purpose of that, as I mentioned, was so that he could be the substitute sacrifice. If Jesus had had sin of himself, he would have had to have died and to pay for his own sin. He would not have been qualified to be my substitute or yours. We also are told at the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 17, verse 2, says that Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. White as the light, being representing purity that is there, exactly that he was. Not only do we see light as purity, but light reveals sin. Here in John chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." If Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he is, then those that are lost, those that are without Christ, those that are in sin, do not want anything to do with being close to Jesus Christ, because what Jesus Christ is a light that illuminates their sin. It reveals the sin in which they have, and they don't want to face that. They don't want to think about that. They don't want to admit that. And so they don't want Jesus Christ getting close to them, and therefore they try not to get close to him. That's why a lot of people today don't want anything to do with coming to church. Or if they are forced to come to church or feel obligated to come for some reason, they don't really want to pay attention or to listen because they're not wanting to hear anything about this light of Jesus Christ. And yet, God so loved them that he sent his Son to be that light that they could have eternal life. And yet they don't realize it. How important. Light reveals sin there. People don't come to the light lest their deeds would be reproved or made evident to be seen. Light also, number three, protects against sin. Over in Romans chapter 13, read there, and I know I look at the clock, and I know we had an extra hour last night, but it ain't giving me an extra minute this morning, so you're going to have to run with me. Here in Romans 13, beginning in verse 12 there, it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." Well, these works of darkness is the moral application there of sin. Cast off the sin there. "And let us put on the armor of light." Now, armor has to do with protection. This armor of light is identified in verse 14. "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." We're to put on the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only at the salvation that is there, but the strength that he can give as we draw near unto him, that he can help us to overcome the temptations to sin in our life. So light is a protection against sin. The fourth thing that we see of the Savior there as the light of the world is he gives direction. Back over in Luke, we're going to look at, in Luke chapter 1, here is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, that is speaking. It is later in the chapter here, after he is born, and he names him, and therefore the Lord loosens his tongue to be able to speak. He had been not able to speak until this point. But he comes here, and we see him there in verse 78 in this prophecy that he gives concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 78, it says there, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Now this day spring there is the word that means the day star or the sunrise. And this day star is speaking about this light from heaven. And that light from heaven is representing the Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about here in context. He has come, it says in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. All right, that light there is to illuminate the truth so that they can know how they have their sins forgiven. And he's come to guide our feet unto the way of peace. He has come to be a guide unto us, and that light of the Lord Jesus Christ guides us unto peace. Not external peace in this world, but peace with God. How can we have peace with God? It is only by being reconciled unto Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why He came into the world. So the light that shines in the Savior there is seen as He is the living Word of God that has come to make peace with us, with God, by dying on the cross in our place there to pay for our sin. That light that shines in the Savior is the living Word. The second light that we see that shines is in the Scriptures themselves, the written Word of God. In Psalm 119:105, the Scripture says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," there. As we look then at this light that the Word of God is for us there, we see that this light of Scriptures has come into the world in four ways. It's the same four ways as the living Word, the light, has come into the world. Here they are. Purity, number one. God's Word is pure. It is said very simply there in Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. There's many other scriptures that speak to that, but I think that's enough said. God's Word is certainly pure, it's true, etc. Light reveals sin. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It is the Word of God that can help there to reveal sin as we look into the Word and see what it says. Matter of fact, Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. He says, "I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." You know that the Bible gives us the commands that God has given, the standard that God has put forth there, not so much in order for us to live so that we can meet that standard and get to heaven, but so that we'll see that we'll never meet that standard. It's so that we'll recognize our sin. We'll recognize where we've fallen short. And we'll recognize our need of having someone who will meet that for us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So light reveals sin. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for, what's the second one you think? For reproof, it says there. The word reproof means there to make evident. And it does that exactly of our sin. It makes it evident what we need to deal with and what we need to have God respond for. So we have there that light is, God's Word is pure. Light, the Word of God, reveals sin. Thirdly, light, the Word of God, protects against sin. Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." It is God's Word that we're to put in our mind. It's not just John 3:16, folks, but it's the words that God says concerning the temptations that we're going to face. It's the temptations that you have, that you find the Word of God, the verses in Scripture that deal with that temptation, you commit them to memory so that when the tempter comes and that temptation is there, the Holy Spirit then reminds you of what you have already learned and memorized. And then that will be a help to you to say, "No, I know better." Too many times, as I've said before, after a person that's a believer sins, they ask themselves the question, "What was I thinking?" And the problem is they were not thinking anything because they had not put anything up here to think about. And we've got to do what God says if we're going to have any victory there. Light, the Word of God, can protect us against sin if we will do what it says there and putting it in our mind. And then the fourth one we see here, the light of the Scriptures, is the light gives direction. Psalm 119:105, as I quoted at the beginning here of this particular point, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's to guide us, to direct us into what God wants. this God's Word guides us so completely. Do you know that the will of God for you as a believer, that 99%, I would say, of God's will for your life is recorded right here in Scripture? There are the things like what vocation should you go into? What kind of what college should you attend? And what kind of work should you go into? And who should you marry? And all of these things are things, too, of God's will. And they are big things. But compared to all of the things that God wants for you to do in this life here, there are just a few things that are not covered specifically in God's Word. Now, the principles to help you to make those choices are, and God's Spirit living within you can help you understand those things and to make those correct decisions. But you've got to ask yourself, one, do I want to know what God wants for me to do? And if so, you need to get into God's Word to find it, because the majority of it is right there. God's Word, the light of God's Word, gives us direction. So we see that the light shines in the Savior, the living Word of God. The light shines in the Scriptures, the written Word of God. Thirdly, I want us to see that the light shines in the saints. That's you. Did you know when you came into church this morning that was the saints marching in and to list the house here? You are the saint, the one that is sanctified, set apart. And we become that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He sets us apart in position as one of His children, adopted into the family of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. Jesus said of Himself, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But as He ascended, as I said, the church age started there as believers. We then now are the light, the reflected light of the world, as the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And that's exactly why we're that light. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And that's the key that I want you to understand there. For us to be the light of this world, we have got to have the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. Not just dwelling in us, but living in us. Our lives need to reflect what He would do here in this world. Excuse me. I ain't got time for this, but... All right. So we are the light of the world. How are we, as believers, the light of the world? In the same four areas, let's look at it. First of all, purity. I've spent the last 2 weeks of messages dealing with the purity of life and the importance for us as believers being pure in this unholy, evil, and immoral world. Enough really said of that. We are to be pure. James 1:27 and makes this statement. It says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world." Keep yourself unspotted from the world. 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And there are six ways, he said then to young Timothy, to be an example. Now, Timothy was a young man, possibly still even a teenager. But he said, "Let no man despise thy youth." Let no man look down upon you because you're young, but you be an example of the believer. And he gives in these six ways there. In word, that is what you say. In conversation, the word actually means our behavior, our manner of life. In charity or love. In spirit, enthusiasm it's talking about there. In faith or faithfulness is the area there. And the last one, what is it? Purity. We are to be an example of the believers in all of those areas, including purity. When people look at us, they should not see a hypocrite, but they should see the purity of Jesus Christ living in us. That's exactly what we are to do there. Light is purity. The light in us there is the light of this world there, reveals sin. Look with me, please, over to Ephesians chapter 5. Fingers be nimble, fingers be quick. Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about as us as the light of this world, revealing sin. We're going to look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. The word sometimes there means before time there. At one point, you were darkness, you were lost, you were still in sin. But now are ye light in the Lord. Now you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You've become the light of this world there. You're light in the Lord. What does he say to do? Walk as children of light. Behave in such a way as what your profession says you are. You say that you're a believer, then you ought to be living in such a way that testifies to that truth. I am very disappointed in sometimes people that I've met that claim to be Christians, but by their life, they're nothing but living in sin, and they don't even try to hide it. Folks, if you're going to live in sin, shut up about claiming to be Christ. And there's a question that arises whether or not you even genuinely are. God says, by their works you shall know them. By their fruit you shall know them. It's by the evidences of your life that Jesus Christ has made a difference. And if Jesus Christ has made no difference in your life, then there is suspicion whether or not Jesus Christ has ever saved you. And you need to make sure of that. If you're in that case today, don't leave out of here without making sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and then how He can start making that difference within you. Not only do we see there in verse 8 there that we're to walk as children of light, but look down to verse 11 there. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, separate yourselves from those that are living that way as in sin and so forth, but rather reprove them. What does reprove them mean? It means let your life actions show up them for what they really are. Back when I was a teenager, in the summer months, I would work at Planters National Bank in the summertime. There was a man there, a vice president of the bank, that was a member of our church. It's who you know to get you a job. Anyway, while other friends were working in construction and so forth, I was able to wear a tie and a shirt in the air-conditioned room working in the bank, I thought, until I showed up for work in the mailroom at 6 o'clock in the morning at the post office. But anyway, I worked people's vacations. I worked in the mail room. I worked in the teller line there, worked in the vault, worked in the proof department, worked as a carrier. And what I'd like to tell you right now happened when I was a carrier. I was working a week vacation for one of the men there that was a carrier, and our responsibility was to go from the main bank, go around to all the branch banks. This was in the day before all the electronic work is done by the teller now. Anyway, I'd have to go pick up the teller work. And it was a bundle of work, all the checks and deposit slips and other indications saying no money, but just indication cash, it was deposited, whatever. I'd have to take that, put it in a bag, and go to the next, you know, all the tellers in that branch, go to the next branch, get all them, bring it all back to the proof department at the main bank. And then I'd start over and do it again. Well, the guy that was training me to do it, that I was going to take his place, he took me out and he showed me, and he'd go to the tellers and he'd go, how you doing, John? How bad, you know, and just talking on the server, just carrying on. And he knew them all. And then he'd go and we'd go by McDonald's and he'd get a French fry and he'd sit there and feed the birds and stuff with them there. And we'd go on down, he'd go to the next branch and so forth. Well, when I took his place the next week, I didn't know all of these tellers and I was friendly and how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, I'm working for so-and-so this week, and he's on vacation, and I didn't stop by McDonald's, and I just went on to got my work done and came back. Oh, you could be back early, boy. Yeah, that's fast. Went on. Well, the next week after he got back, he came to see me, and he says, what'd you do that for? You made me look bad. Now they want me to do it that fast. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to make you look bad. I was just doing what I thought was my responsibility to do. Well, the same way is true when it comes to the spiritual things. God wants us to live in such a way that when a person that lives in sin sees our life, they see the differences that are there. And they see how far they fall short. Now, some people are going to get mad at you for that. But there will be some people that will say, hey, I see the difference in your life. I'd like to know more about it. But folks, we can never have the invitation to explain to someone what makes the difference in our life if there is no difference. We've got to come out from among the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I'll receive you, Jesus Christ. God said. So we have here that responsibility there. Light reveals sin, but only as we're living as that true light reflecting Jesus Christ in our lives. Thirdly there, I'm almost through. Light protects against sin. In James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, we're told there, and I'll give it to you very quickly here. It says, brethren, he's talking to believers, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. Now, two things about it. The erring from the truth, since he's talking to believers, he's talking about a Christian who sins. And convert him is not talking about witnessing, for as convert, he's already a Christian. And so it's talking about one who talks to that believer that's in sin and talks him and he realizes and turns back and gets right with God. That's what he's talking about. Notice it says there in verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You know that if as a believer, if we stubbornly continue to march on in our sin and will not turn from it even after God has chastened us, etc., that God may have to take us home early, prematurely in death, because of that. A Christian who comes to another believer who's in sin and says, hey, I see what's going on in your life. I know that you know better than this and that you're living in sin. Please know that as a Christian brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord, I want to encourage you to quit doing that and get right with God. You know who that he loves. You know that's what he wants. You know that's where his best is. Just to encourage them in that way is what we're to do. We may save their soul from death. And we certainly will hide a multitude of sins that God may have had to reveal further in order to try to bring them back into himself. In Galatians 6:1, it says, similar thing, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he's talking to believers here, brethren, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Those that none of us are perfect, but those of us that know the Lord and we're seeking to live for him, we are to be the one to help that believer turn back unto the Lord. We've got to be first, though, like Jesus said. Don't be having a beam in your eye trying to take out a little speck in somebody else's. You first get right with the Lord, and then you can see properly to help somebody else. That's the key that is there. A light protects against sin, and light gives directions. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, this is so important. I don't want you to miss it there. In verse 15 and 16, he says there simply, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nations, whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. You know, we are to be blameless in this world. In other words, where people can't look at us and say, I see your sin, point the finger at us, and rebuke us for our sin. We're to live that purity. Then we'll be the light in this world of darkness that's around us. And how can we be guiding other people? Holding forth what? The word of life. The written word of life. The written light. You know, as the light of this world, speak the truth of the light of this scripture, then people can hear, and faith comes by hearing this word. So the only way that we can be the spoken light is for us to speak the written light to a world that's living in the darkness of misunderstanding about their need. So my question to each one of you, first of all, light has come into the world. Do you know the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the Savior, the living Word of God. John 3:14 says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In chapter 12, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And the purpose is it, in the next few verses after that, He describes himself as that light, and any man that comes to him that believes in that light will have his sins forgiven. Again, the purpose of Jesus Christ doing it was your forgiveness of sin. Do you know the light, the true light of the Lord Jesus Christ? He died for you. Christian, do you reflect the true light by your works? Are you an example of the believer? Or you're a hypocrite? Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Christian, do you speak the written Word of God so that others can know the living Word of God? We sang the first hymn that we sang this morning. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. We have that responsibility. Let your life clearly reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And let your mouth clearly direct people to Jesus. Every head bow, please. Where do you stand with these questions? The application of the truth of this message? Do you know the true light of the Lord Jesus Christ, or do you need to receive Him this morning? Christian, are you that example that you should be reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you speaking out the truth of the written Word of God that others may by faith come to know Christ? We're to live in such a way and we're to speak in such a way as they do. Father, I pray right now that you would take the message of this truth of your Word and you drive it home in our hearts and that we would be willing to make the choice that you reveal to us today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 300.